I want to take a break from the podcast right now, and I want to give you a gift. And I want to do that to thank you for being a listener. I put my heart and soul into this podcast. I love interviewing today's experts, researchers, MDs, psychologists, sleep trainers, you name it. I hope you feel inspired to take care of yourselves and your families. And I just want to thank you for being a listener and hanging out with me. So the code PODCAST10 is going to give you a one-time $10 off code at kellylevesque.com, your next order of protein powder. You can either use that on my grass-fed beef isolate protein or on my new vegan chocho bean protein. Now, here's what I love about my protein powders. It's 3 ingredients or less. So we don't use fillers, emulsifiers, no fortified vitamins or minerals. It's easy to digest and naturally made without any enzymes or chemicals like hexane. So it's 3 ingredients. With my grass-fed beef isolate, that's 100% grass-fed beef, and it's made in the way that you would make bone broth. So just heat and water. And we dehydrate that end product to get that collagen-rich protein powder that your whole family can drink. It can be added to coffees, to smoothies, and you can get it in vanilla, chocolate, and unflavored. I want to point out that my vanilla and chocolate is made with organic vanilla bean, organic cacao, and the only sweetener used is organic monk fruit. We don't use any maltodextrin. Our monk fruit is 100% ground monk fruit, and it's organic. And with my vegan line, I'm so excited to have launched this and to have it out into the world. It's a regenerative bean from South America called the chocho bean. And the chocho bean is the most superior plant-based protein powder you can get your hands on, because not only is it a complete protein, but the process is made with heat and water only. They're crushed and soaked, and what that end product results in is an anti-nutrient-free protein powder. So you're not gonna have any lectins, phytates, or oxalates in your protein powder. Makes it super easy to digest, and it's really, really delicious and robust in cooking as well. So I love it if I want a thicker smoothie or a smoothie bowl. And I also love it in my baked goods, from my cookies to my muffins, pancakes, and breads. It's the perfect protein addition. So if you want to give either of these proteins a try, or you've already been purchasing these proteins and want to take advantage of this special deal, the code PODCAST10 is going to get you $10 off for being a listener here at the Be Well by Kelly podcast. So head to kellylevesque.com or bewellbykelly.com. Put the protein you'd like to purchase in your cart and use the code PODCAST10 for $10 off. Thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in.
Jen Robin is the founder and CEO of Life in General, a full-service organizational design company, and LIJ Spaces, a custom cabinetry line designed from the unique viewpoint and perspective of a professional home organizer. Jen has always loved organizing and creating systems, and she started out as a celebrity executive assistant, where she mastered the art of to-do lists, time management, and efficient systems. Over the years, Jen has successfully evolved Life in General into a holistic home transformation company, and her new book, Life in General, A Joyful Guide to Organizing Your Home and Creating the Space for What Matters Most, is out now. I am bringing Jen on the show to inspire me to keep my new home free of clutter and to hold on to the most important things in life, my people.
Jen, thank you so much for being here. I am so excited to have you, a little bit selfishly, because what you do for people is organize their life in a holistic way. And I need that help. I just bought a house. We haven't moved in yet. And I'm already thinking, like, how do I set up my life to be strategic with my habits, with my organization? And you have a systematic approach to doing that. So I'm so excited to pick your brain.
Yay. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. I'm curious, though, it's such an interesting career. How did you become passionate about this, and how did you start your business?
So I was a personal assistant before Life in General to a professional athlete, and he loved to move. Just in Los Angeles, in the same city, Manhattan Beach. And he just wanted a change of scenery. And I just remember being so excited, geeking out over, you know, sending him on vacation or when he was on away games, and just, you know, coordinating the move, color coding everything, getting all the systems in place. And my friends thought I was crazy because obviously, like, moving is not everyone's favorite thing. And I just loved it. And I remember even bigger than that, seeing how the systems that I created in each and every one of his homes affected how he was living. Like it just, all he needed to do was focus on the things, you know, obviously his sport, but being able to have time with his friends and family because of everything else was taken care of. And seeing that structure where, you know, the drawer organization, everything in your home has a home. I mean, I saw it every day. And then I was organizing for friends and families on the weekends. I was so booked and it was so fun. I wasn't charging. And I obviously had a full-time job, but I didn't care. I was just so enthralled with it. And I just knew that from the feedback I was getting, like, you should do this. And I had no idea that it was a thing. I didn't know professional organizing existed. I ran to the bookstore. I looked up all these books and sure enough, it was a thing. And Life in General was born. And I took that leap of faith knowing like I had no idea on running my own business, but it was really something I was incredibly passionate about and seeing not just transformations, but how it made people feel. So I knew it was something and just took that leap and here we are.
Well, your passion shines through. And I feel like the people who are most passionate about something come up with systems or approaches that make it repeatable, that make people like the layperson who maybe isn't organized, they feel empowered because they can follow through with something and they can follow your approach to feel like they have a handle on their home.
Totally, totally.
So I'd love to actually go through that. I know your new book, Life in General, A Joyful Guide to Organizing Your Home and Creating the Space for What Matters Most, just came out. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And in that book, you talk about the pillars of life in general. So what are the pillars?
So we have a 5-step method, and this method is really the foundation of what we do and what we call our process. It obviously varies from space to space, but these 5 steps, we've really kind of narrowed down to the key things that people can do in their own home. So the first step is removing everything from that space. So if you're organizing a pantry, you're going to take everything out, that clean slate, start fresh. But while you're taking things out, you're going to be categorizing and sorting those like items. So that's the step 2, is the categorizing. So you're going to put breakfast with breakfast, you know, dinners with dinners, pastas with pastas, baking with baking, and really getting clear. And then the 3rd step is discarding and donating. And I love this step because, you know, 1 step further than that is understanding like what you do really use, what you need, what you love. And I do believe that everything can have a home, but it might not be your home. And so that's where it's fun for me to say, we partner with, you know, 7-8 different charities all in Los Angeles where, you know, we can take those items that someone's not using or needing and bring it to their, you know, their donation center. And then the 4th step is where you add the organizational systems. And this one is funny because in the book, I talk about you have to have product and all of this. And I knew that it was going to stir up some controversy of, you know, don't want to spend money and all that. And it's not that you have to buy product. You can definitely get creative and use what you have or Tupperware for drawer dividers, but you do need containment. You need to keep those items, those like items together because it really does need to be maintained. And then the 5th is the maintenance, of course. And this is something that once everything does have a home in your home, it's you just putting it back. And some things, you know, if there's 2 stories in your home and you have a baby, you might want to have, you know, a baby zone upstairs and downstairs. So there's different variations here, but the maintenance is huge because that's where, you know, all of your steps will, it matters in the end if you're actually putting the items back, right? Mm-hmm. So that one's a fun one where I'm like, I can't live with you and physically put this back, but now that you know where it goes and it's labeled and contained and it has a system, you know, it's really you taking that extra step and making sure it goes back when you pull it out.
No, this is already, you're already organizing my brain for our move. Oh, luckily the removing process isn't part of it. We're just going to be placing things in. But I'm curious about the sorting and organizing. I think about my pantry right now. I have all my baking stuff together. I have all my spices together, kind of like the snacky foods. But when it comes to things that maybe aren't the same, but are the same size, like how do you, is it by size? Is it by shape? Is it by...
Yeah, we love this because there's very like generic, you know, where we do zones. So it'd be like the baking zone. So you can get really clear and then have that category where it's like hot cereals, cold cereals, you know, whether it's for the baby or an adult's bars, all of that. But it just should all be in the same area. So it's less about, you know, fitting all perfectly in a bin or next to each other, but it's containing them, meaning like if you do put them on a shelf, having these different size things, if it fits and it makes sense for your space, but keeping the like items together is the most important because you know, okay, if I'm getting ready in the day and I'm going to get breakfast, it's in this zone. So it does vary from space to space depending on inventory and the space you're working with, but that part of it is really important.
I mean, when I think about sorting and I think about, you know, it's visually, professional organizers are fun to watch on television, I'll just say. But, you know, Chris and I were watching an episode of The Home Edit, and I think they were in Khloe Kardashian's garage, and she had all this overage and clear containers where she put her water wipes for her daughter. And Chris and I had this conversation like, okay, great. Like, we have a box of water wipes in our garage right now on the floor by the washer and dryer. That's where it is. That's where it lives. And I would love to have this type of organization in our new home. But at what point do you restock? Because I'm telling Chris, okay, well, when the water wipe subscription from Amazon shows up and there are more water wipes than would fit in the clear, pretty box that's in her garage on the shelf. And then I still have the box on the floor full of water wipes. Like, how are you ensuring, whether it be bringing new items into your home, deciding this is where my supplements go, but now all of a sudden I'm adding a supplement, or this is what I have on subscription, and all of a sudden there's more than where I have space for. Like, how are you accounting for that and being prepared for that?
We love to marry function and aesthetic. But at the end of the day, the function has to win. You know, it could look beautiful, which is great, but you have to be able to maintain the system. And if there's that system that breaks down, it's not going to be maintained. Right. And then we love what we call backstock. So if you have a space, you know, in your pantry, let's say, or your garage, where you have your routine, what works for you and your family, you know where everything is, and then but you don't need 100 of them right there, but you do use them. You can do kind of like what we call prime real estate. So having the flow of your space in your home, but then there could be a closet a little bit further away or another end of the garage or a backstock closet where that's kind of where you go first before you buy, if that makes sense. And it's this flow of what works for you and your family and your home. And I always stress this because there, you know, organizing is not a one size fits all. I always say that you could have the same amount of family members, the same household, but the way you're going to set up your home is going to be different from the next person because of so many different variables. And at the end of the day, you have to do what works best for you and what feels good, but also what's functioning. So this backstock is what we like to call, you know, wherever you can create that in your home. So maybe you're not reordering it, but you're going there first. And then once you see that's getting low, whether it's a weekly check or a monthly check, depending on the items, that system will then be created.
It's great. It's almost like your garage has a receiving and a restocking cabinet. And then that's when you perform your maintenance, going around refilling. When it comes to taking inventory of your home after things are sorted, categorized, and organized, to maintain your maintenance, how often are you doing that? I think if I allow, it's something that I'll see Chris do. He's really organized in our home, and he wishes that I would be a little more organized, which is why I'm so glad you're on the show. Is you know, we have a diaper caddy in our upstairs in our bedroom where we do our diapering with our kids and really primarily Tasha now. And then we have our downstairs zone where we have like a drawer that has like a little leather mat that you roll out and wipes and diapers in that drawer. And he will restock these things like daily. To me, it feels a little bit like he calls them his Kenny bears, because there's this Richard Scarry books where Kenny the bear does like, he brushes his teeth, he washes his face. He does all the things you have to do every day. So yeah. Chris is like coined this, the Kenny bears.
Yeah.
And so Bash
will ask that.
What are you doing? And he's like, I'm doing my Kenny bears. And it'll be like helping with the house stuff. Like Chris has got this thing running like a well-oiled machine, but whether it's like laundry or refilling the diaper caddy or, you know, the things that just organizing of things so that it makes sense. But for me, I'm like, this sort of seems, I mean, there's an important thing to do every day, but it sort of seems inefficient to have to like go so far as to all the time to like restock things. So I'm curious, like when it comes to restocking, what is like the most efficient way to do it?
Yeah. First of all, Chris is my spirit animal. I love this Kenny bear. I'm like, I've never heard of that. And I love it. It really goes back to what I was saying earlier of every single family and every person's going to be different. So what works for you might not work for the next person. So for me, for example, I love like a 20-minute sweep at the end of the day. And that really kind of sets my next day. But then I schedule on Sundays a few hours to just do kind of a whole house restock, edit, if there's anything. And that is really important to me because I know that I need that in my life. And I know that that's going to set me up for success through the week. But then it might not be realistic for somebody else. Or, you know, if they're a single parent or they're working 24/7 or in that season of their life. So it goes back to what is going to work for that person and what's, you know, knowing that, give grace. If it doesn't happen, there's no such thing as perfect. But what really does make sense. And for Chris, that is something that he loves to do and it's how he resets. And I love that, but that might not be realistic where some people can only do it once a month. But it really is so important. I really believe, I mean, I wrote a book about it. I started a company about it. I live and breathe this. If you came to my house right now, I really do practice what I preach. It is, you know, a part of my life and I've made this a part of my lifestyle because it's so important to me. But also I've really prioritized what this means because I know if my house is messy or, you know, my car is filled with clutter, I don't operate at my best. And I know that at the end of the day, it's like that 20-minute reset, you know, the weekly reset, whatever that looks like, is going to help me long term. And it's going to affect a lot of different areas of my life, but it might not be realistic for the next person. So you just have to do what works for you during that season of your life, because that also will change. You know, if you have kids or if you're traveling more, it's just really getting down to making it a priority when you can and scheduling it in the calendar, but also what makes the most sense for you.
Definitely. Well, I think Chris is your spirit animal. He is affected by his physical surroundings in a way that it inhibits his creativity. It hurts his self-esteem. Like it's connected to a lot of the way he feels and the way that some people a blowout in a nice brand new outfit and power heels makes them feel awesome. Mm-hmm. If Chris's surroundings are clean and everything is stocked, he's like, I feel like I have my life together. Yep. So can we talk about how you organize, restock, and your 2-hour weekend routine that helps you get your life in order? Like, what are you doing in those 20 minutes a day? And what are you doing the 2 hours on the weekend?
So the 20 minutes a day is pretty much just seeing any of the clutter that's left on hard surfaces, countertops of things that might not have been put away. I'm a bonus mom to 2 kids. And so when we have them, making sure the homework's near their backpack and walking them through that. And they know now they've learned, but it's funny because it really does set us all up for success. And I'm seeing it, you know, I have dogs too, and my fiance making the bed every day, but at the end of the day, just kind of doing a once over glare of things that I know that I could just 20 minutes to put away and fine tune and tidy. And it, again, nothing's perfect. But on the weekends, I do this Sunday reset. It's my favorite part of the week. And it really is my time. This is my like self-care, self-love. I've learned that this actually does matter for me. And so I block off, you know, that time, whether it be in the morning or the evening. For me, it doesn't matter the time. I just really like to schedule about 2 hours. And that's checking the groceries and making sure there things in the shampoo bottle is full and just going through each room and taking inventory. And if it's something that I need to put things away, I take that time. And I do actually try to do it more in the mornings in case I need to do groceries and whatnot. But I have learned that this is what has set me up every time for success. And when I'm out of town, I can feel that difference. And so that Monday morning, or I might have to go to the office a little later because I know it's going to throw me off mentally. And it's become my thing, but it really is. It's a part of the routine that, like I said, it just sets me up for success. And yeah, I put music on and do the laundry and it just feels good.
Definitely. I mean, it the little like elbow grease in your life to like set yourself up for the week. I mean, I'm probably making myself sound like a slob. I promise I'm not a slob, but just in comparison to Chris's high standards, I fall in the mid range of organization. So I am also curious if you do any form of like auto shipping of the things that you purchase to reshop, stock, or if, you like make all your purchases from one place to like streamline and simplify, or if for beauty purposes, you like the branding to be the same, like, is there, like what level of matching organization and beauty? Cause everything you put out online, I'm like, can my place look like?
It's a little bit of both, right? The automation is things that are pretty easy. Like I love making my life more simple. So if that's using Instacart instead of going to the grocery store while I can do the laundry or do my 2 hour tidy, I mean, I'm going to do that. It's taking the inventory, and there's some things that I don't have to restock as much, or if we're gone for the week, there might be a diff that might look different. So I've suggested to a couple clients, make a checklist and almost have that same checklist and go through your house each week. And you can have it on the notes on your phone of things that you need to restock or replenish or that you just check up on. And so it's a little combo. Like I love online. I love Amazon. It can be there next day. It's also very scary that that happens. But it's just trying to create a more simple life so you can do the things that you want to do. So for me, it's I love that 2 hours, but it's important for me to do that because I gain 20 hours during the week of sanity and spending time with the people I care about and creating that routine and structure. So it's definitely a combo, and it varies week to week or month to month. And like I said, when we have the kids, that's a different, you know, that week looks different, that day looks different, but it's just building your own foundation, knowing that it can alter and knowing that it can change, but feeling how you really feel. And I think it's so important on checking in with yourself and, you know, are you happy? Does this feel good? Does this feel right? How's my home life? Am I good with my surroundings? Because things constantly change. You know, I hope that things are changing and evolving, but it's kind of like guiding yourself through that.
Absolutely. Well, speaking of which, you just mentioned living a simple life and what your surroundings make you feel, if it's making you feel joy, kind of gives me the Marie Kondo vibes. But can we talk about discarding and donating and like really honing in on what is most important to you and how you help your clients do that?
Mm-hmm. So I say, and I'll mention it every day I can, because people are like, well, what do I do here? And it's every single person is different, and that's a beautiful thing. And so there's people have different obstacles or barriers with how they feel about stuff in their home and what clutter means to them and what their surroundings mean to them. And my biggest advice with understanding each person is getting clear to why. What is the intention for your home? What do you want for yourself? What's important to you? Doesn't matter if it's not important to the next person. It's what is really, really important to you. And when you get clear on that and you're going through your things and asking yourself if this is something that you love, use, or need, and then if it's not, that is something that could be better suited somewhere else. So, you know, we work with a lot of women's shelters, and if it's, you know, makeup products that are coming in that's not being used, that's still intact, you know, we'll take that to their place, or we'll give them the resource to say, hey, there's some really incredible foundations that could use this. Or if it's with kids' toys, and we teach them the one in, one out rule, and having these real conversations with people of saying, you know, what kind of life do you want to live? What do you want to do in your home to have that set up? And also the donation part is huge, because it might not add value to your life, but it could add value and be a necessity to somebody else's. So I think it's a beautiful thing when you do discard and donate and edit often, and it really changes the way you feel about things coming into your space and how you buy and how you shop, and getting really clear with your intention. I think it's a game changer once you kind of feel the difference, but also knowing that you can cause happiness for someone else. I think that's a really exciting and fun and beautiful thing, but it's getting back to what do you want and how do you want to feel?
I mean, I definitely feel better being a minimalist. I think it would be shocking to people to hear that I have two pairs of heels. I have see it on, whether I'm on TV or like at an event, I have like a black pair of pointy heels, and I have a creamy, like blushy, creamy suede pair of heels. And then, you know, I have like a strappy sandal. That is like two pairs of like real heels and a strappy sandal. And people would be like, what? But it's just like, I don't like bringing things into my home that I'm not going to constantly be using. And it does feel so good, especially with the number of things, decisions that I make a day, clients that I see, podcasts that I do, business, you know, emails, conversations about product, whatever it is. I'm like, less feels like so much more to me. And so, you know, luckily I'm not a slob, but luckily for Chris, I do like few things, and I don't feel very connected to like material things. And it's interesting because I haven't been someone to, and I think it's from my mom. My mom was constantly like, I'd be wearing something in junior high and she'd be like, you don't wear this, we're donating it. And I may have worn it.
Love your mom.
I may have worn it the week prior, but she like was constantly donating and didn't show any form of attachment to things that we had, even if they were like, weirdly, even if they were like family heirlooms, or like not heirlooms, but like, you know, my grandma's bowl from whatever, until just recently, actually, my grandma did pass away, and she's holding on to some of her things, and not all of them, but more attachment now that she's gone. But how are our emotions and attachments, like how does that lead to clutter in our homes, and what can we do about it?
Yeah. So I'm sorry about your grandma.
Thank you. I
love that there's this conversation around attachment and things. And I love that, you know, I grew up in a house where I coined the term connection over collection, because when we would come home, and my dad, both my parents are wonderful, and my dad passed in 2009, and it was something that he instilled in me every single day. Like, things do not matter. People matter, and how you make people feel. And I believe that to my core, and again, created a company around this idea of can't take it with you when you go, but also it's going back to the why of it all, and why is it so important? And this attachment that I find, you know, it's fascinating. I'm not a psychologist, and I wish I had nine lives, because I would definitely go back to school for that, because it's fascinating watching different clients and different people go through this process, because again, everyone has the barrier or a different reason. You know, they don't want to lose the memories, or they'd feel guilty, or all of these things. And I love I love when Life in General comes into a home because there's never any judgment. It's really just hearing and listening and understanding the story. So then we can help guide that person and what's going to be best for them. So if it's someone who is, you know, maybe lost a loved one or going through divorce or, you know, the opposite side too of they're getting married and having a baby and these, what the things represent into their home. And I always ask, you know, there's what really matters to you in these moments and what's the most important thing. And it's never the thing, it's always the person. And how can we get the best solution for you? And so, you know, I worked with my mom, and after my dad had passed, for me, you know, we had his clothes and his stuff. And the solution for me was, you know, I'm not asking people to get rid of everything. I just want people to get really clear with, you know, how much of it or what other solutions. And so I took all of his clothes and surprised my family with blankets and quilts that they use all the time. And it's all of his stuff. And then donated the rest to some really great shelters in Sacramento. And I remember having this conversation with my mom because years later, 10 years later, we helped my mom do more because she wasn't ready. Right. And so giving the grace, you know, I needed to do it right away within the year, and my mom needed to do it 10 years later. And it goes back to that, what each person needs and having that conversation and being supportive. And, you know, there's all these solutions, but really getting deep with, it's the cheesy in me, but it's also the real soul work. It's the, you know, what do you want? And how can we create that for you? And again, I have a box of my dad's stuff, just one, and I have a quilt. And that for me was, you know, quote unquote, enough. And we don't really need much as humans. You know, we just need to be seen and loved and heard and, you know, be with the people we love. And so when it comes to having these attachments or emotional barriers and creating that life for yourself, it's getting clear on what do you want to keep rather than what do you want to discard, and flipping the script in that conversation. And it really is such a beautiful moment with yourself and when we work with our clients, but having those honest, really, really honest conversations.
Well, I think you've given our listeners a beautiful way to remember someone that they've lost. I wish I had you on the podcast before my grandmother passed away, because I would have done that for my mom. I would have snuck up to her house and pulled some things that I could have made into a quilt for her. But that is just a beautiful way to do it. And to remember what you want to keep, I think, is really special too. Just because it is, we don't want to forget the memories. So like mm-hmm. that shirt reminds you of that time, and that hat reminds you of that ball game, and that, you know, so I can understand that it took your mom a while, and I'm so sorry that you lost your dad. Mm-hmm. Sounds like he prioritized one of the most important yep. things in life, yep. people, not things.
Yeah. He knew it before, you know, and it's a special, there's solutions. And going back to one more thing of, you know, there's a beauty in taking photos and making books, and something that takes up even on your phone and having, or even a hard drive of just going back to it if and when you need to, but rather the physical amount of stuff that could take up a space. And then, you know, you can create something new there, or keep it empty. I'm always like, you can have empty drawers. It's okay. You know, but there are different solutions and that you can problem solve anything. You just have to get clear and also understand what at the end of the day do you want. And it's, there's so much beauty in honoring someone, and there's just different ways to go about it.
Definitely. What do you think some of the common barriers are that keep us from getting organized and streamlining our space?
We hear, so in the book I talk about six, but we hear probably the top three would be, I don't have enough time. And another one would be, I don't know where to start, or I might need it one day. And those are probably the top three. Going with the fourth would be, I don't want to lose memories, I feel guilty, or the one in the book that I love, that was the hardest one to do, was I'd feel lost without my stuff, because, you know, not many people feel that that's what they feel until we go real deep and different situations. But the I don't have enough time is one of the biggest. And I always say, well, what do you want to have time for? And flipping that script of having that conversation. And once you find out, it's like, okay, well, that might mean we have to do something different with the schedule, or again, scheduling it in and making it a priority. Because that's the first to usually go, like, oh, we'll organize on Saturday, and then something else comes up and you push it back and you push it back. But I say in the book, you Sharpie that shit in and you make sure it sticks, because that is self-care and that will affect other areas. And pushing that off, you know, making time, it doesn't need to be a full day or a full month. It's being realistic with your time, but understanding that it is really, really important. So having those conversations. But I some people are a combo of the different, some people are like, I'm all six, you know? So we've been getting a lot of feedback of the top three, but really it's fun when people are like, how do I do this? I'm every single one of them. I'm like, okay, pick up the book. We're going to go through it. We're going to go through it together. We're doing this book club right now, walking through, you know, everyone through this entire book of why it matters, the soul work, the process, the trouble spots, and really how to maintain for the rest of your life.
Oh, it's so important. And the time piece, I mean, that comes up in my work all the time with clients. Like, I don't have time to cook meals at home, or I don't have time to move my body or go outside and get light, or, you know, I don't have time to put my phone down at night before I go to bed. And there's an attachment there. Like, yeah, there's something underneath that that's keeping you from making time or reorganizing your life to create time or find, I don't want to say find space, make space for this. But I will, it's funny, because I'd rather figure out and, you know, use life in general as my guide to Sharpie that stuff in, Sharpie that shit in, or whether that be restocking shampoo, conditioners, and making sure my groceries are stocked, instead of spending time on my phone trying to order groceries while my kids are around, and then feeling guilty as a mom that I'm doing it at this time when it's not like scheduled. And I was really hesitant, not hesitant. I'm just a spontaneous, more of a flow state of a person, mm-hmm, until running a business, until having children. And then you want to be able to be in a flow state. You want to have flexibility and freedom, and you don't have it unless you're organized and scheduled. Mm-hmm. And so like, that's the stuff that goes away when you don't do all of these other things and make the time and create the time and space for it.
Yeah. And to that, it's a lifestyle and it's a lifetime. It's, you know, you do this once, you do it right, and then it's the maintaining, but it does allow space. It gives you back time. It gives you back the other stuff that you want when you do take the time to do it first. But it's a choice. You know, actually last week I had a client say, I don't have enough time. And I'm like, walk me through your day. And at the end of the day, it was 4 hours of TV. I'm like, okay, so we're going to have some conversations. We're going to, you know, because they wanted to change. I'm like, I'm going to help you and keep you accountable for this. And these little changes, you know, again, I'm not asking to get rid of the 4 hours of TV, but if we could start slowly, you know, implementing some of the organizing, that will really help you. And she, you know, it's funny because, like you said, it's just what you're choosing and what you're prioritizing. And it's not going to be this perfect science every single day or week, but creating that space will give you back all the other stuff, right? And the time and the stuff that you do want to make space for. So
absolutely. And it's interesting because I wonder, you know, 4 hours of television is definitely enough for anyone. And it sounds like it would only be 20 minutes. So she would still get 3 hours and say 40 minutes. But if that TV time is a reward for whatever work and effort she put in throughout the day, it feels like she's probably not rewarding herself in the way that she wants to. And so it's like, again, it's flipping the script. It's having the conversation around like, this is self-care. This is rewarding yourself for, yeah. And it's creating a life that allows you to feel calm and have the space to think through things.
Yeah. And okay. Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
If you would have said that TV was the most important, I said, okay, what else can we kind of work around? But it wasn't. Her organizing was more important. So I'm like, great. So now we can make some choices on that. So it's just getting clear, and some things got to give if you're going to want to change. And so it's once you get it though, and she's been already loving it. It's been a week and she's like, I should have done this forever ago. I'm like, it's okay. You know, you start with today and it's all good. So,
right. She's got to, especially if you have kids, you just got to do your Kenny Bears after they go to bed.
Kenny Bears. I this is my new favorite thing.
I'm going to send you the Richard's Kenny book. The second thing that you said is that people don't know where to start. And I think that that's really overwhelming for people, especially if they're in a house full of clutter and stuff. Where can we start? And where are the places in a home that get like real placky?
Mm-hmm. So my best advice would always be to start small and, you know, don't start with your garage. Don't start with your office and papers or memories. It's really physically starting small. So your joy drawer, which people call the junk drawer in your kitchen, if you have one, it's to, you know, pulling out your medicine and just checking if they're expired, going through your spices, going through like taking a drawer versus the whole space. And when you feel that 20-minute win, that is going to help you in your next obstacle, right? And so as you keep building that momentum, but the starting small is my best advice, because I've had people start in other areas and it derails their whole plan. And then taking inventory, so going through the pain points in your house of, what is the thing that you don't want to come home to? What is the thing that's making you so anxious or overwhelmed? It could be your whole house, or it could be just one room. And so understanding, if it is one room, maybe we should start in a drawer in that one room, right? So it's creating your own inventory checklist of what your pain points in your home are. Again, not starting with the garage or the memories and all of that, unless you have one box only, but having that conversation, scheduling, and just starting small, but really just starting. Like the moment you just start and put that in your calendar and dedicate 20 minutes, that's all I'm asking. You can do anything for 20 minutes. And seeing how not only you feel, how you feel internally, but seeing this transformation, and then you'll get excited. You're ready for the next. So it's just starting small, but just really starting, making that plan.
You know, it's funny because we call it the purge. Chris and I, when we're like, oh, we're like drowning in clutter. And especially because publicists have my physical address, sometimes my email address. And when you rent, we just bought, but like having rentals and moving through COVID and stuff, it's interesting because I have old landlords be like, I got a box from, I don't know, you know, it's some nail polish company, or it's like healthy protein bars, you know, and you're just like, yeah. I don't want to be wasteful. I want, you know, it's very often that I'll get a box of like food or something. Like I just got, I think like it was like 32 boxes of mac and cheese in a small, I mean, the waste is unbelievable in the PR world, but like inside of a mini locker that was like purple. And I'm like, okay, texting the girlfriends I have who have little girls. I'm like, I have this purple locker. You don't need to take my junk, but if this is something that would bring your children joy, like let me know. And then I took the box of mac and cheese and I put it out on our driveway because I have a bunch of kids on our street. And I was like, we aren't even going to go through 32 boxes of mac and cheese in the next 2 years. So if anyone on the street like wants this, it's on the patio, you know, or it's on the driveway, please like, you know, ride your bike up, send a wagon, grab as many as you'd eat. But just, there are times when either boxes roll in and then I'm surrounded by things either I'm not going to eat or use, or, you know, the Need It one really stands out for me because it's like, I might get a sleep supplement that I love, like a magnesium from Mind Body Green, or I may get, you know, seed probiotics may send like some like celebratory, like extra bottle outside of my subscription. And I'm like, ooh, I might need this. I'm going to keep this. Let's find space for it. Like, so yeah. can we talk through Need It a little bit? Like, how do people, there might be that chance, Jen, that we need that thing.
Oh,
a timeline, and
again, it's different for everyone. And I try to say in different places of the home. So, you know, in a closet, I'm constantly editing my closet, but you know, by season or for sure, no longer than a year. Cause that means if you maybe not live in California when there's very little seasons, but if it's like you have not worn one of these things and just taking the inventory. But I talk about this in the book where I was laughing at my own rule because we had moved last year into a new home and I was going through, I was so excited. I like edited every room, got it all prepped, kicked everybody out. I'm like, I am going to do this move by myself. Like, this is my happy place. Just let me be. And we hadn't been using this pasta maker ever. And we, you know, if we would need it one day, worst case, I could buy it again. But I laugh because the very next week when we moved, it was one of my bonus daughter had her girlfriends over and wanted to make pasta, but we just got rid of the pasta maker. And I'm like, ooh, I have this moment of, oh, it failed me, my own rule. But you know what? We had the best night. Like, they laughed at me, of course. Like, of course you would get rid of it. But we used a rolling pin and it took longer, but it was so fun. And it had all these new memories that we wouldn't have had. And again, if we ended up being pasta makers weekly, I probably would have gotten a new one. But at the time of my life, we'd never used it. Mm-hmm. Never. And so it is really, I can't ever say you are never going to need this one day, because the reality of like, we don't live in the future and we just don't know, but it's going back to like, do you need it? Love it. Use it. And I mean, there's so many more questions with that. It's like, are there duplicates? You know, would you miss it if it was gone? But the reality of everything can be replaced. And that's where it comes in. And again, not asking you to buy something new, but it does go back to creating the life and what you want to live for today and having those conversations. And again, it might not be perfect and you might need a pasta maker, but it's just one of those things of it's okay to let it go and it's okay to create space and what that looks like. But the reality is no one knows what the future holds. And I don't know if I'm never going to eat carbs again and need that pasta, or if I'm going to turn into a chef and want to make pasta every night. But it's living for today, creating the home life for today, and just being clear with what that looks like for each person.
Really important. Really important. I think the 1 year rule is one that I'll start implementing, because there are times where I look at my closet and I'm like, or maybe my kitchen appliances, and I'm like, yeah, I may need that. The aspirational me wants to wear that more often. That's, I think, why I'm down to three heels, because I'm like, I would love a closet full of Manolos, but it's just not my reality right now with toddlers to be and doing podcasts and seeing clients via Zoom right now. It's not in my reality that I would be sitting here at this desk wearing heels.
Exactly. And life happens. And I think the ebb and flow of what that looks like. And one of the biggest things too is just also when you create space in your home and what that looks like. If it's something that you use every Thanksgiving, no, you're not going to get rid of that, because you do use it every Thanksgiving. But it's also creating the space of where that belongs in your home. So not in prime real estate, not in like everyday functioning kitchen space, pantry space. Maybe that is in your back stock, or maybe that is in your seasonal area where it is less used, but taking up less space day to day. That also is a big important thing. It's not, you're not letting go of it, but you're also just creating a new location for it, that it's not taking up the daily, you know, visual of you seeing it and thinking about it too.
That's great. I mean, let's talk. Can we talk that through? Because you mentioned the joy drawer or the junk drawer and prime real estate. What are we like the junk drawer? That's happening in prime real estate most of the time. It's someone's kitchen drawer or like, you know, in an easy to access drawer in like a communal area. Yeah. What how are we keeping those areas organized? What are we keeping in prime real estate? And how do we decide when to store something or put it in back stock?
So prime real estate is really just, we'll take a pantry, for example. If you're a baker and you bake every day, that should probably be front and center or in arm's distance, not at the top of your pantry. And if you're not a baker, that prime real estate should be used for something else. So it's like your day-to-day meals, meal prep, planning, whatever that looks like. And then baking, you know, you might need to get on a stool if you're using it once a month, or you might need to just put it in a spot where it's not, again, front and center and central. And then with like the daily essentials, and I love the joy drawer because I'm like, let's not do junk anymore. You know, I want everything to add value. And that essential drawer is something that's important, but a lot of times becomes a catch-all of random miscellaneous things because it's an easy access point because it's all miscellaneous things. So it's like, just put it in the joy drawer. But also taking time to go through that. And do you use a notebook? And are you someone that doesn't write groceries on a notebook anymore? You know, do you need scissors by the, you know, again, what's the flow of your space? Where would that live? Do you even need one? Is it really just, you can put some keys somewhere else, like a command center. But that is, again, walking through your space, physically walking through your space and just looking and seeing and feeling if that flow, you know, are the zones where they should be? Is the flow working for you? Is it saving you time every day? I'm not going to tell someone to create a joy drawer if they don't need one. It's not like an absolute need, but if it's something that you write checks, or I laugh whenever I find menus, everything's online right now. So I'm like, you do not need a physical copy of a menu, no judgment, but let's, you know, prioritize letting that go and recycling it. So having, again, feeling and looking towards what your space is and what you want it to be, but physically walking through it. Like I grab a notebook or grab your notes on your phone and walk through and understanding like, okay, we never use this. Why is this right next to the fridge? We use that every day. And creating, save yourself time and your sanity and money, because if you're putting something away that you are using, you're going to forget about it and keep buying it. So having that clear, clear understanding of what matters to you.
Definitely. Can you talk me through, a command center and creating spaces for things. Like I think about the things that end up on a counter that make Chris, I do have piles places. So I feel like this is therapy. I have piles and piles of clean laundry. I have piles of like the important mail that comes in for me in my purse. And, you know, if I wore a Janessa Leone hat the whole day because I didn't wash my hair, or, you know, it kind of turns into a pile. How do you account? Like I'm thinking about moving, you know, our new house and having like a mudroom if I'm coming through the garage, and then we'll have the kitchen and, you know, bedroom and all of that. Like in an ideal world, like I'm immediately walking in, putting my hat, going upstairs, putting my hat away, putting my purse like in my closet, taking my phone downstairs, plugging it in. Like Chris has like a system for this. But for me, it's like I'm moving a million miles a minute with a number of things I have to do. So how are you accounting for efficiencies in someone's life when they also want to be organized?
So we call these piles the clutter shuffle. Any hard surface, because then it's like if you have guests over, you're just moving that pile to another spot and then another spot. And it's just like a funny little shuffle that people do. So this central location, this command center, is kind of your high traffic area in your home. So for you, I actually loved hearing, you know, the walk you through the day. You take off your hat and your keys. So then going through that flow, would it be more efficient to keep your purse downstairs and not put it in your closet? Is that your daily purse? And then you can put that in your central location and then have your phone charging station nearby. Again, the efficiency is what's going to work for you in your flow and physically walking through that space. And by it could change, it might change, but then you'll have these understanding of what the system should be and you'll work around that. So it's the efficiency. It's really going through your day-to-day and what makes the most sense for you and where things should go. Obviously, like mudrooms, and if the kids have sports stuff, you know, you're not bringing that into the house. If it's dirty, you want to try to keep the cleats outside. So it's just, it's a little bit of understanding the flow of even the seasons and different times of your life. And even physically, like if you need a rain jacket versus not a rain jacket and having a space downstairs. And then maybe when it's summer, you're putting your rain jacket back upstairs in your closet because you are ever evolving and ever moving towards what's working right now. And so this command center is a nice kind of hub. It's where if you love to meal prep and plan and having the calendar of everyone's schedules, it might be that there's, you know, electronic cords to plug into. It could be where your purse is and just having it in one space. So it's easy for you to walk in and out the door of the items that you need day to day.
You're making me think creatively about this mudroom now. Like, where am I going to have my plugs for all of our phones and electronics, like my Aura Ring or things like that? Like, I love that idea just of having the space for it. And also, I mean, I'm sure people listening, I mean, I have a light California, not a lot of change, but I do have like a pretty big pea coat in our downstairs closet right now that I definitely will not wear anytime soon. You wear it for like 6 weeks in California. So it should be upstairs waiting until I go to New York next.
Mm-hmm. And I think being flexible, it's no perfect science, but there's never any judgment, never judge yourself, give yourself grace, but it's the flexibility of your life will look different. Maybe each day, maybe each week, maybe all of that. And so kind of being flexible within your space and also who's in the space. And if there isn't enough space, if someone doesn't have a garage and they have all this, you know, what is the next best option? And what does that look like for the next person?
Such good stuff. You're making me so excited for our move. I want to do it by myself. But Chris is going to want to do it by himself first.
I know. I was like, I'd love to help. I feel like Chris wants to do it by himself, but if you need help.
Yes. I mean, if you're offering, we'll
anytime
take you up on that. I think, I'm so impressed always with the products that you share on Instagram. You shared one that held like a big Yeti, and all I take with me is a big Yeti. And then I'm driving around and I hear the stainless steel like rolling into the metal tracks of the front seat. And then I'm that person at the stoplight, like fully pretzeled around trying to grab for it in traffic. Not safe. But well, I'm so excited about your new book, Jen, and all the tips and tricks that you share. But that little Amazon cup holder in a cup holder that holds my Yeti. You influenced me.
Yay.
Purchased.
I love it.
Because it's those beautiful containers that make things feel like, oh, I feel calm and about this.
Yeah. And we get, look, it's fascinating because there's something for everything, right? But I want to make it clear. And I do talk about this in the book because often you do need that containment or you do need X, but it really doesn't mean you need to spend all this money or you need to have it quote unquote perfect, because again, I don't believe in that. But it goes back to what's going to work for you within either your budget or your lifestyle of what you want it to look like. And that function and aesthetics is really important, because I think when you love your surroundings And I believe that it's, you're gonna be more inclined to put things back because you're gonna know how it feels when it's not back in order. And so the aesthetics of it, it is a part with our brain. That's why design is such a important, you know, design, organization, aesthetics, function, but function has to win, of course. You just wanna love where your surroundings and creating that space that makes you feel that way.
Oh, well, thank you for writing all of your expertise down in your book. The book is Life in General, A Joyful Guide to Organizing Your Home and Creating the Space for What Matters Most, for giving us these tools and tricks. I love the 5-step method. Chris loves a system. We joke that he has systems for everything. So I'm going to introduce him to the 5-step method and your systems, and we'll probably give you a call to come check out our space. That.
Absolutely.
Well, where can people follow along? Where can they learn more? And where can they focus on what matters most?
Mm-hmm. So our Instagram handle is our, you know, that's the day-to-day at Life in General, general with a J. And then our website is lifeingeneral.com. And I really believe, and I'm so excited that this book is out in the world, because I've seen it already change lives, and I know that, and I stand by it, because it's so important when you get clear in your own life and your own space of what really matters. And I hope that, you know, more people can read it and understand the process of getting, you know, there's hope for us all. We can all get to a certain point, and just loving the journey.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for being here, and I will link everything in the show notes, but you're making me really excited about the movie.
Yay! So, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for listening to Be Well by Kelly. Please subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Learn more at bewellbykelly.com and follow me on Instagram at bewellbykelly. I would love if you picked up my books, Body Love and Body Love Every Day. They're sold on Amazon and at all major booksellers.